The following podcast is not work safe. It contains some vulgar words and vulgar ideas contained within the Bible, adult situations, and drug references. Enjoy the show.
Wiggly World 124.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down.
A Wiggly World, a Wiggly World. We made it! We made it, everyone. I have no idea where we made it to. Hi, everybody. Well, to 124, I guess. 124. You know what that means. That's right. 124. Big, you know, the kids, wink. Things. I have no idea. Let's make 124 be something. I don't know what it could be. 124. 12 and a 4, and a 4 and a 12, and a thing and a guy. So here I am, and I'm sitting down to do this. Now you know I normally stand up when I talk into the mic and do flips. I'm sitting down to do this. I have to do this dentist thing later on today. I have. A zillion projects in front of me. Working on a song for Jaden. It's just been, it's been rough, man. He asked me to sing on it, and I'm all good with that. But also, I have to write the lyrics into it. And for some reason, I've just been stumbling and fumbling. It's been very difficult, and it's not that I'm having a problem coming up with things to say, because. Let me tell you, over the past month or so, and the past time that I've been away from you and out of your earballs, I have thought of plenty of things. There's so much just waiting to pour out. That's why I'm having a hard time even talking now, because and knowing what to say next, because there's just way too much behind this. You know, I have my finger in the proverbial dike hole, as the Dutch boys say. And it's just ready to burst. So I'm a big jumble right now. Big jumble. It wasn't really expecting to open a mic so soon. I tricked myself. It's like, oh, we're on. Okay. So I'm trying to write this song, and I have plenty to say. And this song's actually going to be pretty angry. I think I'm very angry about things, and I'm fed up. And it's a reflection of what's been going on. In my thought times. And you know, the whole thing, one of my mantras is to not waste time on things I don't want, and spend most of my time on what I do want in my life. Things that are important to me and fun to me. And I've definitely been doing that as well. But there's a lot of... It's not so much anger, it's what the hell were you thinking, people in this world, and especially in America, and especially given time on television and in the news? It's supposed to be news. Nothing's new in the news. But before I get ahead of myself, the stumbling and the fumbling with writing a song, it's been difficult to make it rhyme and make it fit the structure of the song. It's short bits that I have to breathe into this that are just are awkward, and it's hard for me to stay on topic. And oh, I need to write something down before I forget. And of course, I forgot now. What it was, because I just wrote down Superman Baby Moses. I don't know, because I know I was watching Smallville. The new fall season is upon us, so I know something about the biblical, you know, analogies between Superman and the Bible. I don't know if you... I've talked about it before, of course. People were complaining about the newest Superman movie, which was called, of course, Superman... I don't remember what the hell it was called. And they were saying, oh, he's too much like Jesus and stuff. And it's like, well, of course, it's a myth. It's you're going to hit those myth points that you run into in the Bible myths, of course. And Superman, no duh, you know, he's the last surviving. He comes down, he comes floating down a galactic river in a spaceship basket and is found and raised by two other people, which is not exactly the Moses story, but very, very similar. And then, of course, they tried to breathe, you know, tons of the Moses story into the Jesus story, as far as the king sent out a thing to kill all the babies because they were worried about a boy being born that would take over and usurp the government and stuff like that. And they breathed that into some of the Jesus stories, you know, which Jesus, you have so many, but one of the stories has that motif in it of going out and slay the firstborn, but somehow Jesus escapes it and la la la. So, you know, of course, tons, and he's here to save the world, you know, and just, they're, of course, this is a hero myth, so it's going to fit many of the, it's going to parallel many things in the Bible. And I definitely don't want to get started talking about the Old Testament right now, because that is a whole nother can of genocide and ethnic cleansing and whatnot that I will probably touch on in a little while. good old Saul, you know, good old Saul, and others, especially others. Not Saul was kind of not even, he was kind of a disappointment to God. But anyway, let's not go there right now. So I'm having a hard time writing this, and then we had our open house, and it was wonderful. I got to hide in my office for a good chunk of it, but it lasted. Some people stayed the entire time. It was supposed to be like, you know, come, take a tour, see you later, have fun. Thanks for visiting us. It was great to see you, and I'll see you at, you know, some other event or something. And I'm not trying to be, like, mean or something, get out of my house. I'm just saying that, you know, but what we had expected was that people would come throughout the time slot and walk through the house and then, you know, that would be it. You know, have some snacks, have some food. It was a fantastic spread, and I don't even. I mean, it was an amazing spread. There was food everywhere. It was an amazing selection, and everyone raved about it. I don't even think they realized that there was no hot dogs and hamburgers and things. There was no meat at all. There were some cheeses, but really, I mean, it was vegetarian and vegan stuff. So I think people didn't even realize because it was just so yummy, and a lot of desserts as well. But most people just shacked up. They set up, we had some lawn furniture that Chizzy's parents brought over and stuff. They really helped a lot. My mom helped. Everyone pitched in. It was really, really nice. Borrowed some coolers from Chizzy's sister and brother-in-law. And it was just it was a really nice thing. It was really great. And it also showed that we could really have, you know, like a party here, like a Christmas or Thanksgiving or, Arbor Day and things like this. So I'm very happy about that. We could have Good Friday. We could have Mediocre Thursday. And we could have Shitty Monday. So I'm happy about that, the hump Wednesday, humping Wednesday. So that was neat. I guess there were 50 people showed up, and it was very nice. A little light on, we had put off, and this sounds like a mean type of thing, and once again, it's not meant to be that way. We received a lot of gifts when we purchased our home. But there were some things when we're, let me tell you, it took a lot to get it ready and in shape. We spent a bundle on plants and stuff and getting the yard in shape. And I rented a rug cleaner, which did absolutely nothing. The only thing the rug cleaner made me realize was that this is a filthy fucking rug, and the people that lived here were slobs. I tell you, the guy must have loved coffee, because he just sprayed coffee everywhere. He liked to dump it everywhere. He loved coffee so much, he painted the floors with coffee, and I think there was a ferret that lived behind the radiator. So I rented the carpet cleaner from, not Lowe's, the other one, Home Depot. And cleaned, and it really didn't do so good. But Chizzy has these peep points, and she bought this. The peep point, you accumulate these peep points at her work, and you can, buy stuff. She bought pots and pans instead of getting me a PSP. But she bought the Max Extract by Hoover that looks like a Cylon warrior. And it is the most amazing thing. I guess it's like one of the top of the line heat vac things that you could buy. And we're definitely going to need it. We're going to lend it out to her parents and stuff like that. But she got it with her peep points, and I'm very, very happy. I asked her if she could, and she did. And I know it was a lot of her peeps, so that's greatly appreciated. But hopefully, I'll be able to not have to rip the rugs up entirely. But in time, I think I will be going room to room and replacing the rugs, because there's this beautiful hardwood floor underneath everything. And once again, getting completely sidetracked. But the party was great. It made me realize that we could actually have parties here, have people over. So that's very nice and fun. And that's lovely. And speaking of spending. So, yeah, that was it. So, we thought, don't buy anything for the bar room, because, who knows, we might get these Home Depot or Lowe's gift certificates. That wasn't the case, and that's perfectly fine, but we were wrong, and that's what I mean. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. You really don't. You really don't. I thought that would be, a no-brainer for a housewarming, that's what you would give. That's what I would give. And I think we got one gift card, and it was maybe I don't even know what it was for, like Target or something, which is great. We love Target. Sometimes Target's hit or miss, isn't it? Target's like a Walmart. It's like one step up from Walmart, but sometimes they could have great deals on things, and other times nothing. And it's sort of gone downhill over the past few years. I mean, I remember going there and buying, a Devo outfit. So that's how cool that was. But nowadays, not so much. Not so much into things. And speaking of spending, I must really love to be destitute. I must really miss those days of not having enough money for a sandwich, because I just looked at my bank account, and it was like $200. And I'm like, oh my gosh. What had happened was, I overpaid my bills. Now, a lot of people would love to pay their bills and make sure their bills are paid. But I don't know how it happened, but I like triple paid some bills, and other bills I just paid too much on. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I am destitute. So everything should be fine next Monday. But wow, that can happen. That can happen, people. Pay your bills. It's good. It's a good thing to do. But yeah, I got to tell you, I blame these the drugs I'm on. I should have never went. I tried this new medication, and it hasn't been working out. And I gave it a month, and it's been very bad. So definitely not on that anymore. And waiting to stabilize from that. So the fall lineup is here. I got to tell you, Smallville, let's forget I mentioned that. But the rest of my favorite shows that I watch and try to take in lately have been amazing. And I just have to say that I'm glad I don't write for television, because some of this stuff has just been so good. Well, number one, flash forward. Evidently, I'd missed 4 or 5 episodes I didn't even realize were part of the first season that I had missed. So I watched a marathon of those Sunday night before I had to get up for a full day of tech work, which was a bad idea. I should have gone to bed early, but I just could not stop watching. It was like the last 4, I think. And there was no way I was going to stop at, you know, 1 left, because I just had to find out what was going to happen. And I was not disappointed. You know, bawled throughout it. In fact, I think the last 2 episodes of that show, I bawled. But I can't believe that they went there. They went to the Montauk Project. Now, I've spoken about Montauk, you know, who knows, spattered throughout shows in the past. And maybe even on Milkshake, I think, yeah. And Montauk is just, well, you might know Montauk from Montauk, New York, and that's where this supposedly took place. But when they went into one room, and this is no spoiler, when they went into one room where the Savant was speaking, and they went in that room, that you saw the spray paint and stuff like that on the walls, and how he was remembering, and even it, maybe even his mannerisms, the fact that it was a single person, this all drew back to the Montauk Project. Now, if you don't know what the Montauk Project is, it was, as far as I know, 2 books. I stopped at the second because I realized that the first book, of course, I knew this is completely not real. This must be fiction, but they kept the first book so vague and so blurry that you wondered if there was something behind this. And of course, the star of this was, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was supposed to be Allende, and he was supposedly someone that was on the DE-173, the time travel boat, the Project Invisibility, the Philadelphia experiment. He said that he was a person that was on there, you know, of course, he was just an idiot savant. I don't know what his savantism was. Perhaps the ability to remember facts and things like this, or you know, things he picked up over time. I think he was also good at math. I can't recall, though. I remember seeing a dude, and so basically it was about this, and it was about people that did remote viewing. And this Allende fellow was someone that was supposedly part of this project, the Montauk Project, to remote view, and they went to Mars, and they saw a horse with a clock in its stomach. I don't know, a clock with a horse in its stomach. You know, some type of dumb thing like this, and it was just kept so vague, though. And of course, they used radio sondes. Old-timey radio sondes to control the weather, so there was weather control elements in this. It was just a whole lot of mishmash of stuff that they probably got from this fellow that, you know, told these stories. And if you went to this one military base, it was all spray-painted, and that is... When I read about this, I was like, and the reason that they did it was to keep it like psychedelic and trippy and do this mind control and stuff like this on the people. But I just thought, yeah, no, it was an abandoned place and kids spray painted on the walls, you know, they tagged them up. And that's what it sort of looked like, the part in Flash Forward where... Now, I didn't call it Flashback like I did last time, did I? I think I called it Flash Forward. I think I finally know the name of this show that I love. I don't know any of the people's players' names. Like, I don't even know the names of the characters, you know? and let alone the actors that are playing them. But I love everyone in there. You know, I have the hots for almost every female character in there. It's just, it's amazing. And all the guys are good looking. So they have a really good show there, solid show. A lot like Dollhouse did, except this has a great story. But once again, shocked by the fact that it had to be a nod to the Montauk Project, or, you know, making fun of it, or just keeping it in the mythos of this story. And I was not disappointed by that at all. I can't even remember any parts that really jumped out at me that, you know, bothered me. Like in the first episode, there were some parts that bothered me. This one, I don't really recall. I mean, there's some, you know, superhuman type of things happening. Not overtly, though. So, very happy with that. What else happened? Family Guy, I didn't get to watch that. New season of The Mentalist. Very good. Great opening show. I think it's getting better and better, this show. And this one was, you know, it was okay. It was didn't go down, didn't go up. Hopefully we get this kidnapping subplot going through this, so I was happy about that. What else did Chiz and I? Chiz and I really like the different shows. Mostly been watching Tosh.0, just, you know, catching back episodes of that and laughing our bungholes off. So funny. So many men's. In fact, I think it's ruined the Soup for me. Soup, you know, I still like it. But, you know, it's a very similar type of show. And, of course, Web Soup is just gone. They should just pack it up, because that's sort of what the Tosh is, except with good comedy writing happening. You know, they have a very good crew of writers. And I was, and briefly brought up, I'm glad I wasn't writing this season. I think I might like to get into comedy writing. But everyone, of course, you know, they see a television show. They think, I could write better than that. I could do this and that. You know, it's rough. It's got to be rough. I know how the Hollywood lifestyle is. I don't know how the Hollywood lifestyle is for writers, though. Now, I know that you normally have a team, and that's good. But I got to tell you, looking at the shows that I've seen so far that have begun their new season, very good stuff going on here. Really high quality. And in my opinion, higher quality than the majority of movies that have coming out that came out this past summer. And I know the box office is feeling a sting, but I got to tell you, as far as feeling a sting, podcasts, wow. Audio, the video podcasts, doing well. The audio podcasts, I question why I'm even behind the mic. It's just been stagnant and at times dropping. I think the thing that is killing us is the thing that is that made us popular. The iPods were the boom for podcasts, and now the iPod apps, with the, you know, success of the iPod touches, the iPod apps are killing the audio podcast market. I think you have to be very, very fortunate to have been, you know, one of the top podcasts, but I can't see any podcast doing as good as they were a few years ago. And especially even last year, very good, up and up and up. And that's the saddest thing about the We Talk Games, is the better that show gets, the show, in my opinion, gets better and better each episode. Before the video podcast, the last audio podcast with the interview of the Team Meat, I think was one of the best audio programs I've ever done. You know, actually, no doubt about it. And the better that show got, and then the video one, rave reviews from the people that were in it, from the organizations concerned. You know, just the and our viewer listeners, now they're viewers as well as listeners. I mean, just rave reviews from people that didn't have to say a thing, didn't have to promote it, whatever. And yet, you know, nothing. stagnant and down. It's so heartbreaking and disheartening that the better you get, the more listeners drop. But the listeners that are there, so strong. You know, thank you, so strong. So I really think that these new iDevices, that home entertainment, home gaming is just killing the market. And I guess it has to do with content as well. But television, very strong, very strong. Video podcasting, doing well, going up, you know, like it should. Like all of our shows have over the years gone up, you know, steadily. Sometimes, you know, a little flat, but for the most part going up. And the video stuff seems to be, you know, continuing that trend. And I'm very happy for that. Which only stands to reason that I'm trying to get out of doing that and be more on the back end of things at Chikara. And, you know, as it gets more popular, of course, I always leave the things that are so popular, right? No. And, of course, there was a new courtship of Eddie's father, only in my dream. And then I woke up and it was still great, great new season. Oh, Bill Bixby. Oh... his head is on my Commodore monitor over here. The person that was my son, King Rollo, in Trapdoor. King Rollo, I went over his house, and for some reason he had this the head of Bill Bixby cut out of a newspaper or something, and in the lower right hand corner of the television where, you know, TV shows started putting their watermarks. Like, MTV was one of the first places, and then now it's on, you know, every channel. They put USA in the lower corner, or, you know, whatever. You see it all the time, Discovery and whatnot, and some are animated. So he put Bill Bixby's head right over where that would show up. And he did this, I think, in all television. I picked up that tradition and started doing that myself. And I still had it on some of my Commodore monitors. And when I set them up for the tour, ow, I hurt my hand. My sandals, they itch. I put the Bill Bixby on, there it was on the Commodore monitor. So, but very, you know, very sad. I love that guy. What a great actor. And Speedway with Elvis, Courtship of Eddie's Father, of course, Incredible Hulk. The other things that he did, which for some reason are slipping my mind right now. Love American Style, probably. Oh, and The Magician, of course. And that great freaking Psychic Powers Unveiled or something. It was like that. And it was a live show. And, of course, absolutely none of the psychic power paranormal people passed any of the tests. He had dowsers and stuff like that. And the best part was he didn't know that they were still rolling. He goes, and he says, you know, what now? Or something like that. What's going on now? And, of course, they were still on. So it was great. And Psychic Powers Revealed or something of that, to that. I'd love to find a copy of that. But, you know, sadly lost him to cancer. I remember doing trapdoor shows when he was getting when you test something. I can't even think. Beta testing, no. He was getting that. The trial things. Oh, gosh. Experimental cancer treatments. And of course it all was for naught, unfortunately. But love that guy. Now, why did I bring that? Oh, because I was talking about new shows. Oh yeah, in the drama, more drama section, watched the first Dexter last night, the return of Dexter after the amazing ending of the last season. And this one is, I don't want to spoil anything in case you've never seen Dexter. I recommend you watch all the seasons of that, especially the season where he gets a girlfriend from England. That is one of my favorite. I think that's my favorite season so far. But this was, this was filler. But Dexter, even with filler, they tend to give you something that you enjoy. And this was, I mean, there was no surprises here for me. Bald during it, of course. How can you not? And, you know, it was okay. It was good. It was a solid Dexter. Nothing spectacular. Continued to be good. And can't wait to see what happens this season. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting season, I think. Worried about the one cop that had sex with his sister because he doesn't look good. I don't know what's going on with him, and I'm worried about him in his personal life. But then, once again, as I mentioned, the final season of Smallville, the final season, expecting big things, let it all hang out for the final season of Smallville, couldn't have been more disappointed with the first episode. Just, talking about... Now, here's where, you know, I would say I think I could write better than this thing, and I wouldn't mind being a writer. This Smallville was just a mishmash of poop. I don't know, how did Birds of Prey go down a toilet? No, actually, you know, how did Terminator go down a toilet? Why is V on hiatus? Smallville was abysmal. It didn't know where it was going. It was all over the place. And they wrapped up where everything was supposed to go in the last 1 minute of the episode with notes and... you know, I'm not going to spoil anything. Lex Luthor is now Tess Mercer's weird adopted son that they're by a roaring fire in the end. A pedophilia sensation. Come on. This is... I hope it's a good season. I only watch it to see what happens, much like what's going on with Terminator in the final episodes there. But, wow, it's such a disappointment. And, of course, this is where, you know, he's going to be flying around in the cape. You know, this is good. This is, we need some capes. You know, this is a superhero story. Where are the capes? And that's what we hope to get this season. But stuff's just all over the place. And I don't know. I wasn't very impressed with this. And also, not only that, but Carol, goodbye, Emily Autumn. Curl is now upon us. Talking about, I saw so many people this the past like 2 or 3 years that so many female vocalists that took the place of Rachel Sage. And you know, you can see, oh, here's that style. Rachel Sage could do this better than this person, and thanks for taking her place. Now we have Curl, which doesn't sound like Emily Autumn, or Curly. That's it, Curly. Larry Moe and Curly, K-E-R-L-I. But she has the look of an Emily Autumn from a few years ago. So there you go, that done. And that awful singer that's now on the install of the of iTunes. When you install iTunes, you see LaRoe right there. And of course, like I had played before, Simon Stinger did it so much better. Alicia Perrone, so much better. And yet these people will take their spots. But once again, the handheld device is killing the music industry as well. And I'm still getting the same amount of money from music that I have for the past five to 8 years. So it's not affecting me at all. But if you think you can live on $30 a month, you're probably... insane. So, but it hasn't gone down. So I'm still making it happen. And I don't promote anything. So there you go. Now, I know that there was some other type of superhero sci-fi thing that happened, and I wanted to talk about it, and I just cannot recall. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was the Spider-Man game, which I'll talk about when we talk games. So maybe it was that. I don't know. You know, really neat. If you love a Spider-Man and you liked Spider-Man 2099 or Spider-Man Noir, I haven't read that at all. Or Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't know what you can get from Ultimate Spider-Man in here. Not very compelling at all as far as a unique storyline or anything like that. But there's a lot of nods in this game. And there's a bunch of secret costumes that you can unlock from maybe some of your favorite comics. Because they're pretty particular. I think the one costume he only wore one issue, so there's a lot in there, and definitely does not warrant a $60 price tag. It's a frustrating game to play at times. The ending, holy Christ! I mean, the whole game is God of War and Batman Arkham Asylum, and that's the whole thing. But the end, down to the last play mechanic, is ripped right out of Batman. You might as well be Batman. And it's just, I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not trying to do that. But I just cannot believe the entire last, like, you only get to 60% of the game is done. And it's like, what? There's only like one block left. What's going on here? The entire last chapter, if you will, there's four chapters. You play as each one of the four Spider-Mans three times, and then the last chapter is you do all four Spider-Mans in a row. Like the first one Spider-Man first, and then 2099 Spider-Man does the reverse of the God of War 3 flying up through the volcano type thing, except he's flying down through like a giant city escape, which is really cool. And in the last episode, the last chapter, he flies down through stuff as well. So, you know, I mean, if you're a really huge Spider-Man fan, then I say get it, but not for the $60 price tag. Rent it, see what you think first, because the play mechanics just are not there. Unfortunately, if they were, then and you never played through Arkham Asylum or God of War, then it would be really something new and unique for you. Or if you like God of War and you liked Batman, and who the hell doesn't, really? I mean, they're really near perfect titles for their genre. Then I would say, wouldn't you want to be Spider-Man doing those things? Yeah, but unfortunately, just far too much to do with controls. You unlock different move sets and stuff like that, and it's broken a lot of times. You really have to be moving that camera around, and at the end, I got stuck. The game was broken. It would not allow me Mysterio. Whoops. Well, that's who you're tracing all the time, so I don't think I ruined everything. But Mysterio was trying to build this landmass, and he couldn't. He was stuck. Like, I had defeated all the villains around me. He turned to go create a landmass, you know, and some type of mirage, I guess. I don't know what Mysterio does. I do know, but I don't want to, you know, explain. But he's trying to create this, and he didn't. He doesn't. He's stuck in animation. He can't continue his turn and create it. So I had a bomb out of there, and that hurt my entire score. It gave me a silver medal instead of gold medal, like Spider-Man gets, you know? But you can unlock things with money, and you spend money on extra bonus costumes instead of powering up your guy. So you do have that replay value to go through and try to want to unlock different things. And I definitely, compared to the Wolverine game, I definitely wanted to go back and unlock the extra items in this game. As opposed to Wolverine, which I unlocked the one I wanted to wear, and that was enough for me. But there is the loot system on this one to purchase unlockables. So that's about that as far as that goes. Now, if you know the political environment right now in the United States of America, and I'm sorry if I'm yelling at you, it just seems like I'm low in this. Let me adjust that volume instead of yelling at you. What a dumb thing for me to be doing all this time. Cripes, 40 minutes of yelling at you. Sorry about that, everyone. I'm such a moron. I'm like, I better project my voice. All right. I'm calm now. So if you know anything about the political environment of the United States of America right now, it's midterms, and there's this Tea Party movement, which I absolutely hate them for taking such a cool... Well, then again, I mean, they dressed up like Native Americans and committed their crimes. But the original Tea Party was all about taxation without representation. And this definitely, well, it was about a tax on tea and stuff like that. So to me, it was a sort of a just thing to be doing. These new tea parties are claiming that they want to not have business as usual, and yet it is incredibly business as usual from the past, you know, 8 years of the political environment. Now, do I want to speak on what Obama's been doing in this administration? Not really, because nothing's really changed. There's not a lot to speak about, and that's what people are also upset about, that that they think that he's not holding on any of his promises. Well, when something as obvious as a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to allow gays in the military to be openly gay and not have to lie about themselves because they want to protect our country and our freedoms and things like this, yet we're denying them because they like men or a woman likes a woman. When something as easy as that and as unanimous people being against, it was like something like 80% of Republicans and Democrats were for the repeal, and yet that can't get passed. It shows you the problem that we're having in our government right now, which is they can't seem to do anything. Now, how can you blame an administration for that when, well, I mean, you can. That's the whole administration, I guess, but right now it's kind of full of pig-headed morons that don't want to move. One thing is, the people that don't like Obama definitely don't want him to look good. So what are you supposed to do? You know, are you really trying to do what's right for this country, or are you trying to do what's right for your party? And it's becoming just this horrible party war, which I gotta tell you, I really don't give a crap about. Now, people are complaining about unemployment. Now, to my recollection, Obama did cause the Great Depression of the 1930s, and the subsequent ones in the 70s and things like this. The unemployment rates of the 1970s and everything else when he was in office. Of course, this past year, he did cause the 1930s big troubles. But a war is supposed to stimulate the companies, General Electric got rich off of World War II. Your car manufacturers get rich off of World War I, World War II, things like this. That's what's supposed to stimulate the economy. The problem is, I'm sure Halliburton is still making tons of loot. We had our teenagers killed and fighting for this oil and all this awful shit, and no prospering came out of it, except for the very wealthy, and that's what the whole problem is right now. I saw Facebook is in the news now because of the movie and social networking, it's called, and... I guess the guy that's now owns Facebook gave $1 million to a school in New Jersey or something. But I guess he's a billionaire, and it's a $1 billion company. And once again, you know, like, my morality is I could never become a billionaire. Maybe my assets, as far as owning physical properties, could you know, if I don't know how the fuck that would happen. I don't know how to get into that stuff. You know, let's face it, I'm going to stay the same level I am throughout my, until I'm dead. I'm going to have to be working. I don't have a pension. I don't have anything like that. So I'm going to work till I die, and I'm probably going to stay in the same bracket for the rest of my life. And, you know, I sort of used to have a fantasy that my music or my artwork or something like that would get me out of here and do better. But let's just fantastically say that I became a billionaire. I could never become a billionaire because I would no longer consider myself part of the human race. I'd have to be... you know, even multimillionaire, it depends on, I don't know where the level cap is. I'd have accountants at that point to let me know what I need to live comfortably. But anything above that, I would have to put back into my community. I'd have to put back into humanity. I'd have to put into people that have great ideas that you know, recreate a Renaissance era of... people with good ideas and given a chance to make their ideas happen. Because let me tell you that the majority of artists, or if you want to lump them in, I don't even like to call myself, who likes to call themselves an artist, but the majority of people that do the types of things that I do are horrible promoters. They're awful promoters. They're too busy creating to ever promote, ever get an agent. People don't know how to market me. That's for damn sure, because I just do too much. I do too many different niches and different parts of this thing, you know? But there's no shortage of rich people in America. And the amazing thing is that I noticed the other day is that crime is at an all-time low and over for the past, I don't know, whatever, 10 years, it's been going down and down and down. How can so many unsatisfied people be living and yet not turning to crime and stealing and things like this? Somebody in the family must be providing for the other people in the families that are out of jobs. I have been unemployed for I don't know how long, but I've been, you know, doing self-employed, if you want to call it, but really, honestly, God. I don't want to talk about that right now. But, you know, something must be balancing this out. Now, because all these people can't be on unemployment because unemployment runs out. And they can't all be on welfare because there's requirements for welfare. So something has to be balancing this, and I don't know what, because I'm not an analyst. I haven't looked into this at all. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out my ass hat. I don't know. But something has to be happening. So even though it is a dip right now, this is how we've been. You know, this is how we've been. As this type of society we are and how we choose to live. We've had great depressions. We've had small depressions. So this isn't anything new. And, you know, like I said all along, I lost my job during the Bush administration. I didn't blame Bush for me losing a job. I know how it is being in a company that makes a lot of money. I know how the pay scale goes. I know who gets let go first. I know that the owner's yacht, let's say, which I don't think any of the owners of the company own yacht, but I know that the owner's yacht doesn't go first. The people that are the part-timers go before the owner's yacht. The people at the top aren't cutting back. They're cutting back on their employees, maybe, but their lifestyles really aren't impacted. As far as I know, from what I've seen and people I've seen and what I've been able to look at. So don't get fooled by this, and I don't think anyone that listens to this is, but it's just something to think about. So in the news a lot, and as part of this Tea Party movement, we've been seeing and hearing an awful lot from Sarah Palin. Now, anytime you hear her speak, it's very easy to say that she is incredibly stupid, a moron, a douchebag, a dimwit. But the problem is that obviously she's not stupid. She's on television. Now, does that mean Paris Hilton is not stupid or Lindsay Lohan is not stupid? Well, there's publicists, there's people behind this, there's things that are happening, but Sarah Palin definitely is not stupid. She didn't have to put herself back in the limelight. She definitely has a lot of things that she says that are framed in a way. She's allowed to speak because it's resonating with people. I don't think she is clueless. I don't think that she is stupid. I think she's a very twisted person, but I don't think she's at all unique or innovative. And I definitely don't think that she does not have a voice of certain people. Now, surely not everyone, but that believes similarly or has a certain, you know, moral sets or views or things like this. But it definitely got me back to reading. I've been reading an awful lot lately. It's one of the things I've been trying to reset on is taking time to read. I've been reading before I go to bed. I've been reading when I'm seeing the Browns off to the Super Bowl. When I pumped a clump of dump out of my rump. and such like that there and so forth and such as. But I decided to find out a little bit more about their religion. revisit the insanity from the beginning. And in turn become, and not interred, in turn allow myself to experience intense anger and hatred and upsetness. Because it is just so unbelievable to me, as someone going back through this book, revisiting the Bible, revisiting the Holy Bible, the Holy Book, the Good Book, and taking it from the top, as it were, refreshing myself, going through the Pentateuch. Now past Judges a bit. It's just, and the Book of Ruth, incredibly boring, but thankfully it's only like 4 chapters. But I've been revisiting this book, and it just seems so alien to me that this is deemed virtuous in these, you know, people that we see on television that want to bring back the Christian. I mean, we're still hearing about these wanting to bring back the Christian values to this country. And it's just, number one, it's staggering. It's amazing that with all this mosque at Ground Zero business and all this other bullshit. It's amazing to me, number one, that so few people understand what the white founders of this country came here for, the people that made an exodus from Europe and around there and whatnot. You know, it's always been amazing to me that we don't realize that there were indigenous people here. And, you know, that was one of the first things I realized. But then, as more and more of these excuses are made, things I've overseen, not overseen, but things that I saw by accident and things like this about emails circulating about our Muslim heritage, my ass, and things like this. First of all, it's astonishing that we all don't just have a more global view of this, of this whole planet. I mean, what the hell is wrong with people to still be, you know, a clamor behind patriotism in a nation with invisible boundaries that, that don't exist, dots we draw on a map, you know, they're representations of nothing, representation of taxation, I guess, or greed. But, you know, I realize that we don't have a global view. I realize that people don't use their floodlights. They use a spotlight and don't even, and it's a very blurry spotlight too. They don't even, you know what they believe. I at least like to know what I believe. And when I have a chance to know what someone else believes, and realize that they don't know what they believe, that's what, you know, pushes me to anger. How people getting more granular now, just holding up the Bible as any type of doctrine to live by. How many times have I heard in the past few months that the Ten Commandments are perfect set of laws to live by? And at first, we're going back into what do you mean parts of the 516 or 613 commandments, however many actual commands and laws and guidelines, well, not even guidelines, laws and commands, that's what there are. There are well over 500 commands, as they like to say. And the only one that mentions the word 10 after it's done, we've gone through this before, is the one that mentioned number 10 was not boiling a goat in its mother's milk. More about trading your slave and things like this, and watching out for the Hivites, and don't let your sons mingle with the Hivites and other neighboring lands, or else they will begin to worship the gods of those lands, and that'll be bad. You know, those were the actual Ten Commandments that God rewrote for Moses after Moses broke the tablets. And, you know, just going back through all this stuff from the very beginning of, starting with Genesis and just going through there, if I had to put a bookmark in every page of the Bible that had some type of glaring insanity, I mean, beyond, you know, what, beyond the obvious, and disgusting things and horrible things and things beyond even the most vicious person's morality, I would run out of ribbons. I would have a bookmark in every single page of the Bible. It's just every page that I'm going through, I'm like, I have no idea how people could be holding this up as the foundation of their belief system. I don't know how they can't. You can open the Bible to any page. I feel like doing that now. Okay. Now, turns out I didn't turn any page that had... it has a couple. Oh, okay, so here it goes. Every firstborn male is mine. I happen to turn to Exodus 34, 19. The first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether from herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb. God is telling you that he requires you to sacrifice the firstborn. He belonged to him. And when you give him a donkey, also bring him a lamb. This is what the Almighty God needs from you. And this is one of his commands as well. This isn't just, recommendation. This is a law. Now, once again, you know, an apologist, someone else will say, that's your Old Testament, blah, blah, blah. This is what the New Testament is based on. This is the God that Jesus is talking about. And of course, he was quoting the Jesus that is written about in here, that other fictitious character of myth. The people that write words into his mouth are quoting the Septuagint, which is the Greek interpretation of the Bible. So then they even get some quotes wrong because it was a bad Greek translation of the original Hebrew. They would be in Akkadian, but then they would be reading the Greek Septuagint. So this is that God, and let's not forget that not a word of the Torah will go away until all this has come to pass, with God coming back and everybody being happy and dancing around with lions and lambs and living forever in with Kurt Cameron and Banana Man. Good Lord, I would ask God to, you know, create some sort of angel bazooka to blow my head off if that's the type of people I'd be hanging around with, and Sarah Palin. Good Lord, who would want to do that? And of course, you'd have to live in Jerusalem and Israel, of course, because that's what it's all about. It's very local. It's a big tribe. I can't believe that people, if Palin saw a Middle Eastern person, you know, any type, I don't care, if he looked a little browner than her, you think that she would listen to the babbling of a Middle Eastern person that said that God spoke to him? God only spoke to Middle Eastern men from very specific places. And this is Almighty God. And only in ancient times. And when he wanted to speak to Moses, Moses had to go into a tent that God made him build, the tabernacle. And the tabernacle had three compartments, the Holy of Holies, and then the Not-So-Holy of Holies, and then the Holy Moly-Oly, and then the Holy Macrolani. That's four. But they had different terms for him. But, I mean, he had to go into Holy, Holy. And God even says that normally, when he spoke to Moses, and he's telling the Israelites, hey, Israelites, you know, I saved you. He keeps reminding the Israelites how many times he brought them out of Egypt. How the hell did they get in there in Egypt? And why does he hate the Egyptians so much? Isn't he everyone's God? Oh, because the Egyptians had other gods. Well, so what? Then tell them you're their God too, not just the Israelites' gods. But God is talking about when he talks to Moses. And he says, I talk to Moses face to face. I usually come to other prophets in dreams and visions and, acid trips and things like this. And when they're epileptics and they're prone to delusional thinking and fantastic thoughts and out-of-body experiences and things like this. That's how I usually talk to my prophets. But Moses, I speak to face to face. I have a face. I'm God. I have a face. So he is saying that God spoke directly to Moses. And that's the God that's in this Old Testament here. Okay? And this is what they believe. They believe that the Bible is inerrant. It is the inerrant word of God. Although God never wrote anything. And Jesus never wrote anything. Who even knows if he could write? Definitely quote scripture, but that was a lot of talk back then. It never says that he did math problems in the Bible. It never says that he read a book. Never said that he belonged to Reader's Digest even. You know what I mean? In July 2009, in the Journal of Evolutionary Psychology, it's an online journal by Gregory Paul, The countries with the lowest rates of social dysfunction, based on more than 20 indicators, including rates of poverty, unemployment, crime, sexually transmitted diseases, have become the most secular or anti-religious. Whereas those nations listed as the most socially dysfunctional, including the United States, are listed as the most religious. And you don't have to be a biblical scholar. I mean, I of course want to get into the horror, the destruction, the abysmal morality that the God of this Bible shows. But I mean, all you need to do is start at the right at the top. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and then darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And on the first day, he got light. God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then there was evening, and then there was morning, one day. And then the second day, he created the firmament, and God said, let there be a firmament. So he created the heavens and the earth the first day. The heavens, just a big black empty space, and the earth. Those are the only two things happening, the earth and the heavens, okay? And then he made light, and he made dark. First day, it was first day. Second day, he made firmament in the midst of the waters and was separated the waters from the waters from the waters. So he made waters, and he made land, and he made the sky, sky waters. God made a firmament and separated the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. He called the firmament heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the second day. So the light and dark happened twice already. Just the earth, just big space, that's it. With light happening, and now heaven is also there. And then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And that's what happened then. God called the dry land earth, and he called the waters that he gathered together seas. God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth put forth vegetation. He's doing plants on the third day, okay? Plants on the third day. He said, does the vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit with their seed according to their kind upon the earth. And was sown, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind. I mean, do we really need to go any further that he just created an empty space, nothing in it, and then the earth is there? Do we just take all modern cosmology and shut our ears to it and say, no! No! Yeah, that's what we do. If that's what you got to go by. God said it was good, and then there was evening, and then there was morning. Then on the fourth day, he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs for the seasons and for the days and the years. So he makes the moon and the stars and the sun on the fourth day after he made light and dark, and after he made vegetation. And it was so, and after there were night, and after there was one day and one night, and then one day and one night, and the fourth day, then he says, let's make some stars and moons. Let's make 70,000 million, million, million stars. Right? That's what he did on the fourth day. And then the greater light, God made two great lights. The greater light was the sun. And the lesser light was the moon. And God put them in the firmament of the heavens. So, still not in the outer space, in the firmament, that is above the sky, I guess, or in the sky. God saw that was good, and then there was morning on the fourth day. Then he makes birds and fish on the fifth day out of... let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. and let birds fly above the earth across the firmament of the heavens. So they just come out of the water. Great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And he blessed those guys and said, be fruitful and, you know, have a couple million species of beetles and stuff like this. And then God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock and all that business. And then we get down to the sixth day. Oh, the sixth day is where he creates the animals. After he creates fish and birds, then he creates animals and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kind. Oh, so the birds and the fish come out of the waters, and the cattle and creeping things come out of the earth. And God saw that was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and sea. Why am I not able to fly around in the heaven? I'm created like God. Why am I not a burning bush? Although I knew a girl that once had a burning bush. So many problems. We're not even out of the first chapter. We have so much problems here. That the animals and the man come on the sixth day. That fish and birds are on the fourth day or fifth day. And then to be fruitful and mortify all that. It blesses us and stuff. And the plants. Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed. And la la la. Now God saw that it was good. And now we're in chapter 2, and he said that the seventh day he took a nap. And he took a rest. And hallowed it, and God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. This is a very, come on, man. Come on. This is not an all-powerful God. God should be like the Energizer Bunny times a zillion, billion, million, trillion. Because why would he need to take a nap and rest? But we run into problems then right here in chapter 2. Because he said, Lord God formed man from the dust, from the ground, breathed life in the nostrils and breath of life, and the man became a living being. And then he planted a garden. But it says here... He made Eden, and he put God there. He told the dude to take care of it, and he can't eat from the one tree that will give him the knowledge of good and evil. River flowed through Eden, and water in the garden, and la la la, four things, and the blue, blue, blue. And then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and to till it and keep it. And then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may feel free to eat every plant, tree, and plant in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge and the good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat it, you shall die. Which I think he lived to be several hundred years old, so that really didn't happen. And then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. So he makes man first here, and then he makes the creatures, the animals, and then the birds, even though like a few paragraphs above, he made the birds and the fish, and then he made animals and the creatures and the crawly things and the cattle. Then he made man. Now, people say, you're getting too hung up on the little technical. Well, this is the inerrant word of God, right? This is like the first two pages. So we have trouble there, but that shouldn't be troubling, you know. And you can say, oh, okay, that's a myth. That's a myth, but God is not a myth, and Jesus is not a myth, and all this is not a myth. Only that part is. But after Adam and Eve, and then the fall happens, Adam and Eve have some kids, Cain and Abel. You know Cain and Abel, you hear this all the time, and You know, Cain slays his brother Abel. But God loved Abel. Abel was a cattle herder. He had the sheep and the lambs. And right here, we see, we get a glimpse into the personality, the character traits of the Almighty God. He loves the sacrifices of the animals that Abel gives him. And now God is showing favoritism towards Abel. We don't even need to get into how, you know, Cain and Abel, how Cain had babies and Noah came about and all this other stuff. You know, how did they, did he marry his sister? We don't need to go there because that isn't even explained. They just say, you know what, we got nothing. So we just give him that nothing. Who cares? That's not important. What's important? Well, it is important. It's you're in trouble. You're in trouble right away. And of course, apologists say, well, God made it so that brothers and sisters could have sex with each other and wouldn't produce, you know, any type of problem at all. But why does God hate vegetables so much? Cain was a farmer. He tilled the land like, you know, God wanted in Eden, tilling the land. But God doesn't really like carrots. He doesn't like lettuce or anything else. He says, F you. And by the way, you know, all these things are able to be cultivated. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years to get to where we are in modern agriculture. You know, right away, zap. They have the banana right away. The banana that we know. But we don't have to get that technical. So Cain gets pissed off, he kills Abel. And then Eve has Seth, another kid. She's only 130, very young, ripe in the ovaries. And Adam lives to be close to 1,000, I guess. Cain is banished by his parents to go run around. Cain and his wife have Enoch. And then later on, Noah comes out of that. And Enoch, if you read books of Enoch, he was like a Noah. Enoch is the dude that has the great fantastic stories of going up with God. And Enoch just disappears. No one knows what happened to him. He didn't die. He was taken up, they say. Another stories about Enoch, he was that impished him. He was the type of sailor that Noah had become. And he was the one that got to see the things that I like to quote about where God kept the raindrops and the snowflakes and the sun and the moon all in the same compartments up there in the firmament up there in heaven. And so far, nothing, you know, offensive except to your bullshit meter. Nothing too horrible. I mean, Cain murdering Abel in a field, you know, hit him in the back of the head with a rock, I think, with a brick. And then, I don't want to go there. But then, you know, we're not even six chapters in, and we get to a part where you just scratch your head saying, what the fuck? When men began to multiply on the face of the ground and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took to wife such of them as they chose. Now, this is the Revised Standard, so in the Living Bible. Now, a population explosion took place upon the earth, and it was at this time that beings from the spirit worlds looked upon the beautiful earth women and took any they desired to be their wives. Then Jehovah said, my spirit must not forever be disgraced in man, wholly evil as he is. I will give him 120 years to mend his ways. Now, in the other one, that's the Living Bible, which is, you know, like a baby Bible. In New International, it says, when men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. So they're taking big liberties in the Living Bible, saying that evil demons were marrying women. My spirit will not be content with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. So this is when he puts the cap on how old men will be. Even though, as we'll see, Noah is about 500 when he finally has some babies and then gets called to make the ark. And then it says the Nephilim were on the earth. And if you study any type of ancient Hebrew and things like this, and well, you'll hear about the Nephilim, I'm sure. Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. Now, this is also translated a giant. The King James translates Nephilim giants were on the earth. And going on, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man, and doesn't this just smack of mythology? I mean, what are they talking about here? The men of renown. The Nephilim were on the earth. The gods, the sons of God, went to the daughter of men and had children, and they were the heroes of old. And daughters of men and bore children with them. These were the mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. Mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. It's as if we're in some type of bizarro alternative mushroom trip here. That this just comes out of nowhere. And now, God gets pissed off. The Lord saw the wickedness. What wickedness? The heroes? The mighty men? The wickedness of man was great in the earth. Well, I thought it was God's men that were with the women of men. And evil continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on the earth. The Lord has buyer's remorse, creator's remorse, okay? And it grieved him in his heart. Does this sound like an almighty God that hears my commands? I mean, here's my prayers. He's like, I really regret this that I made them. Why? What were they doing? They were multiplying. Didn't he say to be fruitful and multiply? Now he's pissed. I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the ground. Man and beast and creeping things and birds of the air. I am sorry that I have made them. What? Why the birds with the men and the women? And now birds have to get killed too? And then he turns to the righteous man, Noah. He's blameless among the people of this time. And he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Remember, he's about 500. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. God's sight. Oh, and now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all his people of earth had corrupted their ways. I am going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And he's going to destroy them and the earth. So go make yourself an ark out of cypress wood and pitch. And now, of course, this is right aside Humpty Dumpty and Paul Bunyan and things like this. Noah, the 500-year-old Noah, going through and getting panda bears and zebras. Well, zebras might be pretty close. But, the brown bear, the polar bears, penguins, all the different types of species, two of everything that are not indigenous at all to, snow rabbits, camels. They probably had a lot of camels. That was no problem. But everything from Antarctica, two of everything from everywhere around the world, he's bringing into his ark. Their dogs and cats are living together. They have termites that are living in the wood. It's all good. No problem. Two termites, some cockroaches, and, all the different types of things, the millions and billions of species of creatures. are being brought into this arc, and no one thinks this is, like, amazing around him that he's able to do this. A 500-year-old guy is in her backyard, and they're all like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's perfectly normal for someone to be able to do this at this speed, at this rate. Everything's good. And then, of course, God opens the heavens, kills everyone, hundreds of thousands of people, murdered babies, doesn't matter, the innocent animals, the innocent things that crawl around the ground, the birds, everything dead, except for that the dove. Oh, yeah, that's right. Noah lets go of the dove, I think. And everything, the highest mountaintops are covered by water, and all this other laughable stuff that any sane person would just think is so fantastic that it must be a story. And fine, you know, if you want to say it's all metaphor, that's cool. But we're going to get into some things that even if they are metaphor, they are sick. It's like saying, I chop your head off. I chop your head off, and then I have sex with your eye sockets and your mouth and all that, your chopped off head. That's metaphor, okay? That could be metaphor for something, or I could be really saying it. But it's nothing that a God should say. A God should not say those type of things, and that's exactly what we have. We have, you know, single men going through and murdering and calling for the murder and calling for the God-invoked and supported murder, slaughter of grandparents, women, children, babies, everything. Save the virgins for yourself. But all the others, destroy, loot, pillage, murder, kill. Kill parents. Kill mothers in front of their children. That's not metaphor. These are people that God supported so that they could have their land, get their land back that they didn't have when they were prisoners in Egypt, to which there is absolutely no archaeological evidence whatsoever that the Jews were ever held captive as slaves in Egypt. I get ahead of myself. So Noah happens, the flood happens. Then God says, I'm sorry, Noah, you and your descendants will be blessed. And I'll never let this happen again. And when you see a rainbow, that means of this covenant. So every time I see a rainbow, I'm going to be reminded of my promise. I need a reminder. It's like a, you know, like a little ribbon I tie around my pinky. The rainbow, the prismatic effect of splitting light into its constituents. The absence of color is black. The combination of colors is light. I learned that when I must have been in Jesus, fourth grade. I mean, and I learned at a time when you didn't learn too much. You know, fourth grade, I think I saw a prism splitting light. This was written by ancient folks, okay? We're not even at the parts where it gets more sexist, more, you know, divided that way. I mean, there's a little bit going on here. Of course, you know, Eve took of the forbidden fruit and coerced her husband. I'm sure that's very hard to coerce a male into doing anything a woman wants. You know, and things like this, but so far we're not even at the abominations of selling your daughter into slavery, which was, you know, one of the commandments and guidelines and things. How is it okay to sell your daughter into slavery if you choose so? What are the rules to that? You know, this is very tribal. This is a tribal God. This is a God that has a heavy heart. He's mad. He did it. Now he's like a child. He lashes out and kills everyone instead of, you know. I don't know. How about giving Noah some Ten Commandments or something? You know, try to tell people. God didn't do anything to try to prevent these sons of men and women and heroes and all this other business. Then Noah has his kids have babies, and all of a sudden the earth is repopulated. You know, Asians and Africans and Middle Eastern and Native Americans and Caucasians and Alaskans and Finnish, the Finns. You know, every person is Hawaiians. They're all back now. Noah did that. Thanks, Noah. Where are we at here? So all that happens. Of course, Noah takes every clean bird and every clean animal, and he offers them burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled, and this is, if you don't believe this, Genesis 8. 20 and reading on. And then when the Lord smelled the pleasing odor, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again destroy every living creature as I have done while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And no sooner do they get off the boat, but Shem, Ham, and Joseph, I don't know how to say it. No sooner do they get off the boat, right next to God, next paragraph, God's already pissed off and he's cursing some and blessing others. Noah was the first tiller of soil. He planted a vineyard and he drank the wine and he became drunk. Now, we know about drinking and date rape from Lot, and these stories repeat themselves throughout the Old Testament. But right away, Ham sees his drunk dad passed out in a tent with his schlong hanging out. And Ham goes and tells his brother Shem and Japheth, I don't even know how to say it. So right away, when Noah gets awakened from his wine-drunken stupor, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, Canaan was the son of Ham. Canaan didn't even see Noah's junk. And by the way, Shem and Japheth covered up Noah. They went in there like looking away, and they dropped a bag on his ding-dong or something, a sock. And cursed be Canaan, a slave of slaves shall he be to his brothers. He also said, blessed by the Lord my God be Shem, and let Canaan be his slave, and God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his slave. Now he's taking it out on his grandson, for cripe's sake. After flood, Noah lived 350 years, so what that made him 850, I guess, around here, or 900. So much for dying and being only 120 years old. All the days of Noah were 950 years, and then he died. About time, too. Jesus, seeing his freaking 600-year-old schlong. Yikes, the balls, can you imagine? Oh, my gosh, my life is so over. I had a gray hair on my nut yesterday. Oh, my gosh. I did not want to see that. And then everybody starts having babies, and you got Nimrod and all this. And then we get to the whole earth had one language and a few words, Genesis 11. And the men migrated from the east and found a plain on the land of Shinar, and they settled there. They said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And then they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. And that's like a tar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. See, you can, if you build a big enough skyscraper, you can actually get up there where God is. They want to build it up to the heavens, and they build ourselves a city with a top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they will propose to do will now be impossible for them, like make video games and cure and create penicillin and, cure polio and shit and write Lost. Come, let us go. Come now. Here we go. They propose to do and will be impossible. Come, let us go down and there confuse. Let us go down and there confuse their language, and they may be not understood one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face. And remember, this is probably the word Lord that is plural, like Elohim instead of Elohi or something like that. Elohim is most likely where they get this Lord from, which is plural, because he's saying right here, come, let us go down. And then he scattered them all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. So they never finished. And therefore its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So this explains what these old freaking desert dudes, how they explain why people talk different languages when they go visit some other people from different towns. Then you get Shem. And now we're finally getting into the genealogy of Abraham. I'm not going to read too much more. So straight out of Iraq comes Abraham. Abraham has a dream that he's supposed to leave his family and his town and his friends and everything like that. So he moves to Canaan. Then he goes to Egypt, and he's with his wife, Sarah. Right away, Abraham lies to the Pharaoh, says that Sarah's his sister. The Pharaoh takes Sarah and has his way around her. Remember, she's 75 at the time. Hey, what does a 75-year-old woman's vagina taste like? Depends. And then that happens, and then Pharaoh finds out and sends them back. God says to Abraham, I'm going to give you a great town if you go away, and then you come back, and you're going to have this great place for you and the promised land type of thing. And we're starting to get into the land dispute portions of the Bible. And this is what the horror of this is. As soon as we get Moses with the Israelites in Egypt and their exodus and stuff like that, then we get into the real horribleness going on. But already we're starting to get bad, because after Sarah and Abraham split, Abraham's upset because Sarah can't have babies. So God says, don't worry, you're going to have a lot of babies. But while you're at it, I need you to cut your pecker, the tip of your pecker off there, your foreskin. So the 90-year-old Abraham slices off his ukulele strings, and you'll have to do that as well for your other bits of junk. Oh, of your slaves. So Abraham, Abraham's important, because this is what is called the Abrahamic religions. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam all came out of this Abrahamic religion, okay? So he had slaves. Abraham had slaves. No problem. God says, no problem with that. No problem you lying. I completely am behind you. I support you 100% lying and having slaves. But so I know that you're my friends, my people here. We'll see God. Need visual cues later on as well. Just cut your pecker and we'll be okay. I'm sorry, Abraham was 99. God said, can you imagine? And God said, Abraham, as for you, You shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He that is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generation, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he that is born in your house, and this is when we get into these rhymes, saying the same thing twice in two different ways, although these aren't very different ways. Both he that is born in your house and he that is bought with your money shall be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. No pun intended. He has broken my covenant. So now God's walking with Abraham, and just out, like, sort of out of nowhere, God heard some rumors about Sodom and Gomorrah being a wicked place. And God's just saying, I think God has an idea that he wants to, get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not really sure, because this is so out of nowhere. It says, the men set out from there, and they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, now, I think these men are the two angels. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall be become a great and mighty nation? Can you imagine God saying, I wonder if I should hide what my plan is from Abraham, this dude? And then he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves by him. By the way, Abraham, he becomes Israel, I believe. Bless them, nations and all, blah, of the earth shall bless themselves by him. No, for I have chosen him, and he may charge his children and his households after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry which has come to me. And if not, I will know. So God doesn't know what's really going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's got to go down there and check it out for himself. Does Sarah Palin read this? So the men turned from there and went down towards Sodom and Abraham. So this is where we get into a very disgusting part, of course, of this whole thing. And this is, this is good. Genesis 18:22. Reading on in here. You know, Abraham leans over to the Lord, to God there. He leans over to God. It says, Abraham drew near and said, well, wilt thou indeed destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within a city. Wilt thou then destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? And this is where we get into that 50, 40, 30, 20, you know, find one person and we get into Lot. And Lot is where we find out that that this is some disgusting stuff. And we'll see this repeated later in the Holy Bible. That evening, the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom, and Lot was sitting there as they arrived. When he saw them, he stood up to meet them and welcomed them. Now, remember, this is when it's already found out that the Lord and Abraham are talking, that Lot is a good man. Out of, you know, whittling it down, they finally get to Lot, and he's good. Sirs, he said, come to my home. Lot says to the angels, come to my home as my guests for the night. You can get up as early as you like and be on your way again. Oh, no thanks, they said. We'll just stretch out here along the street. Oh, now I'm reading from the Living Bible. I got to get over to a Bible that might give us some better things here. Three. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast. God hates yeast. If you want to give him some meat and blood, you can give him blood sacrifices, you know. He likes the blood. That's fine. But just don't have any yeast in it. He hates yeast. I don't know what this guy has against yeast, but he hates it. And I guess angels do too. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet with them, and he shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you will, what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." This is the most virtuous man that God has ever met, or at least in Sodom. "Get out of our way," they replied, and they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. Oops, those aren't quotes anymore. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house, and then they shut the door, and then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. This isn't even a good comic. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, son-in-laws, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you?" "Yeah, his two virgin daughters he wanted to offer up to get gang-raped. Get them out here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry of the Lord against it is, its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So that's what happens. And he says, and then it's pretty urgent. And it's coming dawn, angels urge Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters and who are here, and or you will be swept away with when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them to safety. That's only four people are going: his wife and his two daughters and Lot. And he led them to safety out of the city. Remember, this is after Noah, after Adam and Eve, after killing everyone, after all that. Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives! Don't look back! And don't stop anywhere in the plain! Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away!" But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it's small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." I mean, can you imagine, you know, angels come to your house and you don't listen to them? He said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly because I cannot do anything until you reach it." And that's why the town was called Zor. But that time Lot reached Zor, the sun had risen over the land, and the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord out of the heavens, thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham, remember, that guy got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down on the town, Sodom and Gomorrah, towards the lands in the plain, and he saw that smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. He didn't get turned into a pillar of salt. So then, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had been. And then Lot and his two daughters left Zor and settled in the mountains where, remember, he said he couldn't go to the mountains. He had to go to Zor. For he was afraid to stay in Zor. He and his daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth. That's a custom to lay down with men. Let's get our father drunk. Let's get our father to drink wine, and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night, they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night, I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go and you lie with him so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and then the younger daughter went and lay with him again. He was not aware of when she lay down or when she got up. So both Lot's daughter became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son. She named him Moab, and he was the father of the Moabites and of today. And the younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. "I slept with my father last night." Living Bob. The next morning, she said to her younger sister, "I slept with my father last night. Let's fill him with wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him and date rape, incestuous date rape." Lovely. And that's where we'll leave off. How can you not leave off there? It's so appetizing. Appetizing enough to make you throw up. So the religious right runs on a platform of abstinence from premarital sex, and yet in their good book that they that it is a pillar of their moralities, there is incestuous date rape by unwed daughters, I would have to say, right? Having sex with their father when he's drunk and doesn't know that he just ejaculated and spilled his seed inside his own daughters, which is just disgusting to most rational people. You have to wonder if anyone reads the Bible. But I do hope to go through the rest of the Bible in future episodes, and we'll go through chronologically like this, and I hope that's interesting. And, you know, we'll get to some really good stuff of how many times God declares and receives the slaying of children and women and, babies even, yeah. Babies died in the flood. The flood didn't go around babies. And I seriously doubt with all the sex that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that babies weren't happening, so I'm sure there was babies in there as well. But the very selfish and disgusting parts are still to come, with God actually demanding for the death of babies, getting upset if people show any type of mercy in their destruction and slaying and conquering. And, you know, it's a very sad state of affairs, and right now, like I said, with the political environment and this whole business about not building a mosque near Ground Zero, and claiming and the shouts that Islam is a violent religion, which, of course, it does support violence. But the saddest part is that this Bible, especially as we head more towards Moses, more towards the chosen people, we already see God starting to play favorites right from Abel. You know, Abel was his favorite, and then we just read about here that he's showing favoritism towards Abraham, and he's showing favoritism towards Lot. And then he will show favoritism towards his chosen people. And this is a problem. And this is what started the whole trouble over land in the Middle East. And this is why how can we ever have peace in the Middle East if a group of people who choose to continue to draw lines that really don't exist consider themselves the chosen people? And other people that also go by these lines that don't exist, claim to be the heir of land on this earth. We live on earth, and it's like I said before with these imaginary delineations of lands and people. We all come out of this earth. And although flavors and shades and traditions and customs may vary depending on your location, it doesn't matter. We all live on this earth. We all need to live here. Why live in war and fear of things that are different than us? Because they're not different. They're all from the same place. Isn't it time that we embrace a global mentality? And not to lose how can we lose traditions? How can we lose customs? How can we lose mythology? It's all here. It's written down. It's written down, even if it was at one time not written down. It was spoken only or sung, as we saw some of these poems. Terrible poems, by the way. But nonetheless, you say one line, you say it the same thing a different way. The next line, that it was considered a type of poetry and probably was a song. Probably was sung to remember. Why not embrace these types of things, but think of ourselves more on a global level? But now comes the part of the show that I will try to take a trip to see God and either ask him what's up with all this dribble in his book here, or who knows what can happen. And this can either be an awesome part of the show, a horrible part of the show, a meh part of the show, or a part of the show that gets cut out of the final. If you're listening to this now, I didn't cut it out. If you're not listening to it now, then you'll never know it was here. And I also hope that I don't lose the respect of those of you that may have respect for me, that because I've never done a drug or anything like that. Now, I have had Novocaine, in fact, very recently. I have taken, Tylenol with codeine when it was prescribed by a doctor because of a knee operation. And I have taken Lamictal, and these are controlled, these are drugs that you can't buy over the counter, you need a prescription. But I haven't done any illegal drugs as far as like pot or cocaine or heroin or crack or anything like that. I have never smoked a doobie. I've never even put it to my lips. Not only did I not inhale, I never was even around it. I was in a room. I did not get a contact high. I sat far away, and I watched Chiz and her friend smoke a joint in the early weeks of dating her. But I never had a contact high. Never, any of that business. I smelled it once at a high school dance outside. Someone asked me if I had any pot. I almost punched them and killed them. And then I also smelled it at a practice that we had. It was so bad that we had to break up practice and get out of that house that we were practicing in, and subsequently not practice there anymore because they chose to continue to have pot smoking there instead of this was in the back room, instead of taking the time out to concentrate on practicing trapdoor and putting on a good show. And that's all fine, everything's good, everything's done, everything's well in the past. And then, like I said, with the Chizzy and her friend. But that was a long time ago. And I still am not going to do it now because it's still illegal. And leave it now. I've heard said and quoted and sound bites, popular sound bites, that any law that is unjust and doesn't make sense should be broken. And it's your duty to break it. However, I don't want to do the time. You know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. That's one thing I learned from Beretta. And since he killed his wife, he should have learned that as well. But I guess he didn't. But I learned it. And it would just be my luck that, you know, I would get busted for buying marijuana, which is illegal in the United States of America. Except for certain states where its medicinal use is allowed. But federally, no. Or something like that. I'm not sure how it works. It's still not legal, but I don't know and I don't care. I think it's ridiculous. I am a proponent of taking those laws off the books because they're ridiculous. About as far as it goes about marijuana. I've talked about that before as well. And the arguments out there are sound and good, and it would probably help me with my manic, you know, depression and stuff like that. And when I'm really high and revved up, it probably would help me. And I know that it helps with pain. So, you know, look at all the companies that give you things that, you know, affect your whole body and you don't know what's really going on. That would, you know, be in danger of losing, you know, 1% of their clientele or something. But, and, you know, of course, alcohol is legal, and that is just an insane type of very abused drug with incredibly damaging side effects. And, Jesus, tobacco, just horrible. But I never try to justify, you know, one. I shouldn't say never. I never try. I try not to justify one bad thing with something that's worse. But you know, those are bad things and they are illegal. And so it just stands reason that something that's better than those things should be legal as well, because that's how it should work, right? If it's worse than those things, then they should be illegal, and if it's better than or worse, then it should be legal. And maybe everything should be legal. I don't know. You know, people are going to do it anyway. So why criminalize them for being losers in life? I mean, they're not going to be competing for our jobs. We're not going to have, you know, crackhead airport pilots. If someone's wasted, they're not going to be able to be a pilot. That's just all there is to it. You can't be, you know. If people give up their families and their lives, they're going to be giving that up. They won't have responsible jobs. And it should be perfectly legal to deny someone a job, just like it is now. If someone's an alcoholic, you can fire them because they're an alcoholic. So why not? How does that, you know, how does legality play into that at all? But, so like I said, I hope no one loses respect for me. One thing that is completely legal, and it would be just like me drinking a beer on here, except that I won't get goofy. Well, who knows what's going to happen, really. But one thing that is legal is salvia in the state of Pennsylvania. There are no laws against salvia, and this is also called sear sage and other types of things. It's an herb. Sear sage. It's a type of sage. It smells like tea or something. And so I, of course, now you know I've been watching Tosh.0 because he has that on there quite frequently, or at least the early episodes of it. I don't think they do that anymore. But I guess you can like chew on this. You can get an extract. You can smoke it. And it's, like I said, it's sage. I'm not trying to promote or encourage or any of that business. New Jersey, it's illegal. Australia, it's illegal. Some other states, it's illegal. There's, you know, do your research. I did a lot of research on this. It is, you cannot OD on it, or at least there's no known instances of OD on this. It is not habit forming. It is, you can do this alone. You don't need a guide or something like that, like, you know, acid or some type of trip like that. It is not a party drug. You do not do this to get happy and goofy. It is not a a recreational drug. Well, that's like a party drug. The effects of it are things like the out-of-body experiences. It's sort of like, if it's seer sage, it's what, like, shaman would used to do. So I thought it would be interesting to take my first trip and share with you my experience. Now, I like I said, I did a lot of research, and it's far more research than I've ever done into, let's say, like alcohol or a beer or something before I drank a beer. That's for sure. I never did any research into that, really. But like I said, once again, this is legal in Pennsylvania, and you can buy it online. If it's illegal for you to do, don't do anything illegal. You cannot be a minor. You must agree to certain things, have a credit card. And this particular podcast is labeled, you know, for adult things like that. And I don't really know how much I assume not very much, because I know that I'm a virgin to almost everything like this. But I thought, and you're supposed to do this, you know, when you're like alone, or you could do it with other people. You know, the shaman would go into a cave and, you know, have their visions and then come out and things like that. And believe me, I did other stupid, really stupid shaman things, like lighting a pack of matches on my hand and letting it burn out without flinching. And, you know, that just completely mutilated my hand. You know, it blistered up, and however degree burns or whatever, I don't know. Just dumb things. And this might be dumb as well. But I thought, you know, we do this together so I could be alone by myself and yet share it with others. So I'm just going to go until I feel something. I'm not going to chew it, because that I'm scared of. Supposedly, if you smoke it, if you take some hits, then it's over in like 12 minutes. The full effects of it are gone. So that's also good. You don't have flashbacks and things like this. And you can do your own research on it. I don't, like I said, I'm not trying to endorse anything. I'm a bit worried about it. I don't want, you know, I know a lot of people, not a lot of people listen to the show, number one, but those that do, you know, probably take my advice seriously, and I don't, so that's worrisome that I set some type of example, and I don't want to be seen in a bad light about setting an example. But I think I'm cool here. I balanced this, I weighed this, and to me, it just seems like, you know, something that I'm allowed to do, and something that I want to do before it becomes illegal. Because it may. There have been actions to try to make it illegal, but because of the bureaucratic red tape that I alluded to earlier, and pointed out earlier, I should say, it's still legal. And let's hope it remains that way, and it doesn't become so popular that it has to be banned for not being alcohol or cigarettes. All right, so without further ado, I have positioned my microphone on the floor. I'm just going to let this go in real time. I don't know exactly what will happen, but I'll try to be as journalistic as possible about it. And hopefully I can let it go in real time, but I'm just going to go until I feel something and then probably stop. I am alone. It's a bit darkened in the room. I have all the shades pulled. I'm resting my back against a backrest, I guess we'll call it. And here we go. Let's see what happens here. Now, I am at a disadvantage because I've only ever smoked a pipe tobacco and cigars. So I've never really inhaled. So I don't know how to inhale anything. I just puff, you know, you puff a pipe and you puff a cigar. Well, at least I do, and I never inhaled. So I really don't know what I'm doing as far as being able to smoke something. I've never done cigarettes or anything like that. And even when I've done Tipperillos, I never really inhaled anything. So this is a little challenging for me, but I'm doing my best. So stick with me, please. Don't know what I'm doing. A lot of smoke. I'm letting out a lot of smoke. I think I'm just putting it in my mouth. I don't think I'm really inhaling anything. And once again, you know, I don't know. This might as well just be oregano or something. I mean, who knows what this really is online. But nothing happening yet. I think I'm doing it right. No out-of-body sensations. I hear a crow, so that might be my spirit guide, but then again, it might just be a crow outside. You probably can hear it, too, if I turn it up. No, not getting the giggles. That's just me, my normal way I am. I'm really just puffing like I do. That I inhaled. But I'm really just like puffing like a pipe, like I normally do. I don't know, maybe I have to be moving around. Once again, no idea what I'm doing here. I might need more. Oh, it takes a half hour to work? But what, if you chew it though, right? Well, it didn't take Daniel Tosh a half hour. Did the coconut challenge. That's the voice of God evidently talking to me and telling me that it doesn't work. It takes a half hour. I told Chizzy that she could sit outside the door, but she wasn't allowed to interrupt me. And we needed to be alone. What do you do when you smoke pot, Chiz? Do you suck it in? And then you exhale out, right?
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing. Are you getting a contact shaman experience out there?
No.
I made her stand behind a reed wall and pretend she was Enlil. To try to, you know, talk to Atnam Pishtim. Tell him about the flood.
It smells like weed. Holy shit. It smells just like weed.
Oh, it's burning leaves. What do you think it's going to smell like?
Oh. Where's your computer?
Maybe I'm immune. Maybe, I mean, are you supposed to just, like, asphyxiate yourself with smoke in your lungs? And then you trip out of that? I mean, I could have saved a lot of time, just, like, put a t-shirt in my mouth or something. Which is also great for audio podcasts. I think I got this high smoking a Tipperillo. And drinking Tab.
All right, and this is the active principle is a terpenoid compound called salvinorin A. The average concentration in leaves is about 2.5 milligrams per gram. A moderate smoke dose for a person of average sensitivity is 0.5 milligram. Therefore, 200 milligrams or 0.5 gram of average
milligrams.
Strength.
What the hell? How am I supposed to do milligrams?
I don't know. 400 milligrams produces quite a lot of smoke. It requires several large inhalations to consume it all. Because it's rapidly metabolized in the body, it's essential that the full dose be ingested within a 2 to 3 minute period.
Oh, geez.
Smoke it up, Wiggs.
Yeah, because I'm already at 15 minutes and nothing's going on. I wasted 15 minutes of everyone's time.
It is also essential that the smoke is absorbed as efficiently as possible, otherwise much of it will be wasted. People vary in their ability to inhale and retain large amounts of smoke. Some people have no trouble obtaining strong effects from ordinary, non-enhanced leaves. Others find it very difficult. The potency of the leaves is variable. There's probably 2 and 4 milligrams.
I think I'm smoking properly now.
You are? All right.
Yeah, I think so.
Here, advice, which you're not using. Use a water-cooled smoking device.
I know, I already mentioned about a bong.
It's easier to inhale large quantities.
I know, because of the water molecules.
Make sure that your pipe stem and screen are not clogged with residue from previous use.
They're not. You know, it was a large amount of smoke I let out.
If the dose is smoked too slowly, the...
Well, I'm smoking fast now. This should be my fourth one now.
A will be metabolized faster than it is ingested. Use a torch flame lighter.
This should be it. Hopefully this is the one. Ready to go on my journey. Not really, I guess.
Did you buy fortified leaves, Wiggly? Most people prefer to smoke fortified leaves.
No, I think the fortification is in that little pouch.
Oh, maybe you're... Are you supposed to...
Sprinkle it? No,
yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah, what is that little pouch for?
That's extract. That's extract.
All right.
Oh, here it is. These are the leaves, and I'm supposed to be doing the extract. That little tiny pouch, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what the problem is, I think. All right, so I put... The leaves are in here, and I put a little bit of that extract on top. Just a pinch. Not even a penny's worth. Right? So here we go. Right. Let's see what happens here. Good luck. And I'm supposed to do this fast so that... now, I definitely am tasting something different, I think. I think it's that extract that's what I'm supposed to be having. Seems a lot more stingy. Or maybe I'm just doing it better now. This is a long way to go. Chiz is now going to be my sitter.
Would you like to do the cinnamon challenge now?
I think the cinnamon challenge might at least make something go on. I got nothing. Are you getting high just from the smell of everything?
No, I'm not. But I'm thinking before I go to dance class tonight, I'll have to, you know, kind of wash off so I don't go in smelling like herbs.
Well, I think I felt something a little bit. Huh? I think I felt a little something in my chest, towards my chest area, go upward. I feel my my rib cage going upward. I feel myself lifting upward around my chest and my chin area.
Enjoy your vision quest.
I feel my chest. I feel my chin, which has I feel my chin like going upward. I don't think I should stop. Think I'm getting there.
All right, just needed a little bit.
Finally,
of that.
Something's happening a little bit. I shouldn't have had this. What do you call that? Novocaine.
Novocaine.
Because it feels like my whole face is coming off. Oh. Like I could pull it off or something. Yeah, I can see how things might start happening. They're not happening to me yet, but I have a different feeling. I think I was just supposed to do that extract.
Mm-hmm. Probably mix with the seed, you know?
Mix with the seed. I think it's probably good here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going somewhere, but I'm not there yet.
No.
I'm just a Popeye. I only smoke bubbles in my pipe.
I think we need to break down the salvia leaves like we would... I haven't smoked weed in years, but I think we need to break down those leaves like weed. Let's sprinkle a couple in the bottom, and let's make a little sundae.
A little salvia sundae.
Yeah. And I'll be careful. You alright?
Yeah, I'm just trying to lick
the... What's above your lip? Is that blood?
Yeah, it's probably iced tea.
Oh, it is iced tea.
Yeah, I got this Novocaine. I'm licking iced tea off my mouth because Chiz didn't mix my iced tea properly.
All right, here's a very potent small bowl.
Here's a small potent bowl, says Chiz. Now, do I still have iced tea above my lip? No. One thing I don't want to do is have some type of iced tea mustache.
You don't want to look weird.
Yeah, I don't want to look like a lunatic when I'm... You know, flying around the room.
Now, listen, wait. When you smoke this, smoke it, take deep, smoke it, leave it in, and then, blow it. Leave it in a little
No,
bit.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, there we go. That's right. It's true.
Burns. Is it supposed to burn?
Well, yeah, it'll burn unless you're using a bong.
I'm trying to smell. I'm trying to suck any smoke that comes out back into my nostrils. I'm really trying to get it. I'm trying, listeners. Am I even rolling? Yeah, I am. Okay.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah.
There you go. Smoke that good. Smoke it. Leave it in.
Yeah, but how am I supposed to leave it in? I'm supposed to smoke it.
Don't talk. Just leave it in. Don't breathe out.
Not talking makes for a bad podcast.
Well, look, you can edit. Keep it in here. That's how they do it. You go. Keep it in until you can't, until you gasp it out.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Oh, I'm flying around, everyone! No idea. Oh, I'm flying! No, I'm flying with God! Wait.
Alright, good. Does take a while, a hit.
Just felt like my ears were coming off. That's all. Didn't feel like anything, so my ears are coming off.
Well, he's like, my chin feels numb and my ears are coming off.
Well, my chin is numb because I have Novocaine in my mouth. But now it feels like my ears are flying off. Is that? Are you supposed to feel like your ears fly off? I'm trying, listeners. I'm trying to make something happen. So far, only my ears came off. I'm trying to get the rest of my head off, listeners. Well, my ears are coming off. Chizzy is... I'm only laughing because of Chizzy. My lovely wife. Trying to get, I can't even. I don't know if is that funny supposed to be because of the laugh, because of the smoking, or just because I can't fucking breathe anymore.
Well, normally,
I mean, I don't know if it's just that I can't breathe.
I know. Just give it a rest for a little bit. Give it a rest.
Well, you were just standing over here, right?
No.
When I was laughing, you were flying around my head, weren't you? That's what I thought you were doing. Were you just flying around the room? More. No, honestly, that's about the only sensation I had, like that you were above me or something.
Well, then you hallucinated?
I didn't hallucinate. I didn't see you there. I just thought as I was smoking, that the rest of my head was coming off. When you were laughing at me, I thought I was looking over at you because you're cracking up.
Not really.
You were cracking up, thinking that I was...
I think you're starting to feel it.
Yeah, I was starting
That's
to feel
awesome.
It. But you keep cracking up, then I don't know if anything's really happening. I did feel like I was out of control for a couple seconds there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe that's all that happens.
Maybe you should try it and then, like, you know, be more a meditative state and more just quiet.
Well, I was. I mean, weren't you blowing a giant fucking a conch shell when you were laughing at me? Lovey, didn't you have a big giant conch shell you were laughing down when you, a big giant, like you were like part of a cheerleader squad? Didn't you have a big conch shell you were blowing down and laughing at me?
You mean a conch?
Yeah. Didn't you have a big giant hat you were blowing down?
I did.
Well, then nothing happened. Wasn't this vacuum cleaner a big conch shell laughing at me like you are on one side laughing and this vacuum was laughing at me on the other?
Yeah, honey.
Well, then nothing happened. As long as that's what was going on.
Yeah.
I wonder if I would have done this by myself, if anything, like, interesting would have happened. Besides the top of my head being on fire and coming off my head. They do say that you lose consciousness. Did I lose consciousness at all?
No. No, you did not.
What did I do? I just laughed like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And thought that my head was coming.
Yeah. Because I laughed. Because I was talking into a giant conch shell.
No. Because I laughed at me saying that that my ears were flying off.
Yeah.
And then you went up to try to... You were cracking up about that.
Yes.
And I was just joking.
Right.
But then... when I started laughing, then my head started, the top of my head became a mountain. So I think I felt some effects.
I think I made you a good batch this time.
Yeah, I think I felt something.
Yeah, I think you're a big boy. You need a little bit more.
That probably wasn't very interesting, huh?
It was very interesting.
It was?
Yeah.
You mean even for our listeners?
Oh, sure.
Just me laughing?
I think they're
and
gonna...
saying about you yelling at me down a cheerleader conch shell?
I think they're going to find it interesting because you've never, ever tried any drug ever.
Yeah.
So this is a...
I think I need it. I think I need it more. I don't think even that.
Well, you want
did
me
I
to
do
me?
It all?
Yeah, you did. You're done. Yeah, you did it all. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that didn't last very long at all.
Yeah, you did it all. Yep.
Even the little bits?
Yep. And that's right. Yeah, you did it. You smoked it all. Let me make you one more.
No. I don't want to waste any more time.
Waste
anybody
more.
Else's time.
Yeah, but you can edit this.
I know, but I have so much editing work to do.
Honey.
I mean, I do feel a little lighter.
Good.
Now, but I don't know if that's just because... I got myself knocked out because of breathing smoke. You know what I mean?
No. Mm-mm. I think it was the effect.
Yeah, how much have you inhaled? Like, have you ever, like, stuck your head in a fireplace or something and breathed that carbon monoxide and stuff? I don't know if I, you know, smoked wrong and then I just...
No.
I know I laughed.
Yes, you did laugh. I don't think you
but
smoked.
But I laugh because you're funny and... You know, and my chin is falling asleep because of Novocaine. I think I did pass out a little bit. Because...
Well, I watched you the whole time.
Because you were... No, but you were saying about my chin falling asleep, and then I laughed because I said about my ears floating up. Then I think everything turned orange. And honestly, I thought the vacuum was doing something. And I laughed and laughed.
Okay.
So, I think that was about it, though.
So, it was like a mild little trip that you took.
Yeah, it was a very little trip, and I can see why when Daniel Tosh does it, and then tries to do the coconut challenge, or when he did the pot versus salvia,
mm-hmm.
and Chong smoked the pot, and then the kid smoked the salvia, and then they tried to run through a tires.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why he fell over and just went kind of gone, because I probably would have fallen over when I was laughing. Now, I mean, I was laughing at myself because I was saying funny thing,
right?
But then I lost it.
Right. And I've had that happen to me years ago, just smoking marijuana and laughing so hard that actually, no, I think I was, doing acid, actually,
no.
which I do not advise any of your listeners to ever try. I was young and stupid, and
well, I guess we have to I have to research a little bit more about how I'm supposed to do this properly. But let's see, 44 minutes. Yeah, I have to edit this way down. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening to A Wiggly World. I hope that you still have respect for me and. I hope you enjoyed today's show with all my anger. I definitely don't feel all that anger anymore, so that's good. Well, I definitely didn't see Jehovah, but I did take a trip. It was just very short. But I'll leave you with John Furphy off my Inorganic Mumbians album. And believe me, I think if you listen to this music and do something with your mind when you're relaxed, don't do this while you're driving, everyone. But I think that John Furphy, if anything could take you there, it's probably this. And John Furphy was a big stoner as well. So, hey, thanks for everybody for listening. And I'm Wiggly, a Wiggly World.